The Count of Monte Cristo by Alexandre Dumas. Volume 4. Chapter 74. The Villefort Family Vault. 2 days after, a considerable crowd was assembled, towards 10 o'clock in the morning, around the door of M. de Villefort's house, and a long file of mourning coaches and private carriages extended along the Faubourg Saint-Honoré and the Rue de la Pépinière. Among them was one of a very singular form, which appeared to have come from a distance. It was a kind of covered wagon, painted black, and was one of the first to arrive. Inquiry was made, and it was ascertained that, by a strange coincidence, this carriage contained the corpse of the Marquis de Saint-Marin, and that those who had come thinking to attend one funeral would follow too. Their number was great. The Marquis de Saint-Marin, one of the most zealous and faithful dignitaries of Louis XVIII, and King Charles X, had preserved a great number of friends, and these, added to the personages whom the usages of society gave Villefort a claim on, formed a considerable body. Due information was given to the authorities, and permission obtained that the two funerals should take place at the same time. A second hearse, decked with the same funereal pomp, was brought to M. de Villefort's door, and the coffin removed into it from the post wagon. The two bodies were to be interred in the cemetery of Père Lachaise, where M. de Villefort had long since had a tomb prepared for the reception of his family. The remains of poor Renée were already deposited there, and now, after 10 years of separation, her father and mother were to be reunited with her. The Parisians, always curious, always affected by funereal display, looked on with religious silence while the splendid procession accompanied to their last abode two of the number of the old aristocracy, the greatest protectors of commerce and sincere devotees to their principles. In one of the mourning coaches, Beecham, Debray, and Chateaurenau were talking of the very sudden death of the Marchioness. "I saw Madame de Saint-Marin only last year at Marseilles, when I was coming back from Algiers," said Chateaurenau. "She looked like a woman destined to live to be 100 years old, from her apparent sound health and great activity of mind and body." "How old was she?" "Franz assured me," replied Albert, "that she was 66 years old. But she has not died of old age, but of grief. It appears that since the death of the Marquis, which affected her very deeply, she has not completely recovered her reason." "But of what disease, then, did she die?" asked Debray. "It is said to have been a congestion of the brain, or apoplexy, which is the same thing, is it not?" "Nearly. It is difficult to believe that it was apoplexy," said Beecham. "Madame de Saint-Marin, whom I once saw, was short, of slender form, and of a much more nervous than sanguine temperament. Grief could hardly produce apoplexy in such a constitution as that of Madame de Saint-Marin." "At any rate," said Albert, "whatever disease or doctor may have killed her, M. de Villefort, or rather Mademoiselle Valentine, or still rather our friend Franz, inherits a magnificent fortune, amounting, I believe, to 80,000 livres per annum. And this fortune will be doubled at the death of the old Jacobin, Noirtier." "That is a tenacious old grandfather," said Beecham. "Tenacem propositae virum. I think he must have made an agreement with death to outlive all his heirs, and he appears likely to succeed. He resembles the old conventionalist of 93, who said to Napoleon in 1814, 'You bend because your empire is a young stem, weakened by rapid growth. Take the Republic for a tutor. Let us return with renewed strength to the battlefield, and I promise you 500,000 soldiers, another Marengo, and a second Austerlitz.' Ideas do not become extinct, sire. They slumber sometimes, but only revive the stronger before they sleep entirely." "Ideas and men appeared the same to him," said Albert. "One thing only puzzles me, namely, how Franz d'Epinay will like a grandfather who cannot be separated from his wife. But where is Franz?" "In the first carriage with M. de Villefort, who considers him already as one of the family." Such was the conversation in almost all the carriages. These two sudden deaths, so quickly following each other, astonished everyone, but no one suspected the terrible secret which M. d'Avrigny had communicated in his nocturnal walk to M. de Villefort. They arrived in about an hour at the cemetery. The weather was mild but dull, and in harmony with the funeral ceremony. Among the groups which flocked towards the family vault, Chateaurenau recognized Morel, who had come alone in a cabriolet, and walked silently along the path bordered with yew trees. "You here," said Chateaurenau, passing his arms through the young captain's. "Are you a friend of Villefort's? How is it that I have never met you at his house?" "I am no acquaintance of M. de Villefort's," answered Morel, "but I was of Madame de Saint-Marin." Albert came up to them at this moment with Franz. "The time and place are but ill-suited for an introduction," said Albert, but we are not superstitious. M. Moral, allow me to present to you M. Franz d'Epinay, a delightful traveling companion, with whom I made the tour of Italy. My dear Franz M., Maximilian Moral, an excellent friend I have acquired in your absence, and whose name you will hear me mention every time I make any allusion.